In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find. In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. Nobody's gonna look at you. In the year 55, your arms are hanging limp at your sides. Your legs got nothing to do. Some machine doing that for you. In the year 65, ain't gonna need no husband, won't need no wife. You pick your son, pick your daughter too. From the bottom of a long glass tube, whoa, whoa. In the year 7510, if God's a-coming, he ought to make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, guess it's time for the judgment day. He never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may.
Welcome back to the second hour. Jeffrey Bennett here. I'll be with you every 2 weeks in this time slot, every other week. Be back with you 2 weeks from tonight in this two-hour set. Also on Monday, it's coming next Monday, I will be a guest. And I'm going to blank because I don't have it in front of me right now. I'm going to be a guest, I think, at 10 in the morning. On another program. I'll let you know what that is tomorrow when I've got the thing open. I apologize, my friend. It's crazy. Second hour. Government is ready to lock down this nation. Oh, my friends, please. Capitalism is the way to rule the masses. Is it not? H.L. Mencken once stated, the whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by an endless series of hobgoblins, most of them imaginary. Part of what I'm opening the program with tonight, I've actually shared with my regular nightly audience several weeks ago. But it's important to kind of review the first couple of paragraphs. We have an audio clip that we're going to be beginning in about 10 minutes that you want to hear. This thing was sent to me, and it blew me away. And you're going to want to listen very carefully to it. It's something I rarely do. I rarely will ever run something that lengthy. It runs about 14 minutes, and it is so powerful. It goes along with this title, Government Ready to Lock Down the Nation. Understand that first came 9/11, which our government used to transform itself into a police state. And then the COVID-19 pandemic hit, which the police state used to test out its lockdown powers. In light of the government's tendency to exploit crises, legitimate or manufactured, and capitalize on the nation's heightened emotions and confusion and fear as a means of extending the reach of the police state, one has to wonder what so-called crisis it will declare next. Oh, come on, people. It's a simple enough formula. First, you create fear, and then you capitalize on it by seizing power. Frankly, it doesn't even matter that the nature of the next national emergency might be terrorism or civil unrest, economic collapse, another health scare, or the environment. As long as all these things allow the government to lock down this nation, justify all manner of tyranny in the so-called name of national security, cue the emergency state, terrorist attacks, mass shootings, unforeseen economic collapse, the loss of functioning political and legal order, purposeful domestic resistance or insurgency, pervasive public health emergencies, catastrophic natural human disasters. The government has been anticipating and preparing for such crises for years now. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness have given way to permanent crisis management, to policing the planet, fighting preventative wars of ideological containment, usually on terrain chosen by and favorable to our enemies. Limited government, constitutional accountability. I don't know how we can get static. That's crazy. All of a sudden she says, I've got static. Oh, man. I have no idea how to check the connections. Let's disconnect. Throw some music on. Disconnect. We'll reconnect. Hello, hello, hello. Okay. Stay with us for a second, folks. We have a little issue. I'm going to disconnect. Back with you. Sorry about that. We had a little static issue that cropped up on us and lost track of where we were. But it doesn't really matter where we left off. Limited government, constitutional accountability, all these things have been shouldered aside by the kind of imperial presidency that our constitutional system was explicitly designed to prevent. Oh, and speaking of which, the marvelous governor of California is now standing on his 2 feet, raising holy hell to call for a new constitutional convention to completely override our Constitution and rewrite it. Isn't this great? I mean, given the rate at which the government keeps devising new ways to establish itself as the solution to all of our worldly problems, at our expense, of course. Each subsequent crisis ushers in even larger expansions of government power and less individual liberty. This, my friends, is the slippery slope to outright tyranny. You see, once the government acquires and uses authoritarian powers to spy on its citizens, to carry out surveillance, to transform its police forces into extensions of the military, to seize our funds, to seize taxpayer funds, wage endless wars, censor, silence dissidents, to identify potential troublemakers, or to detain citizens without due process while they're allowing the non-citizens, you know, those that just keep coming across the border each and every day. They get rights, we don't. I guess the lesson for the ages is this. That once any government is allowed to overreach and expand its powers, it's almost impossible to put the genie back in the bottle, isn't it? Harvard constitutional law professor Lawrence Tribe recognizes when he says the dictatorial hunger for power is insatiable. My friends, the history of the United States is a testament to the old adage that liberty decreases as government and government bureaucracy grows. To put it another way, as government expands, liberty contracts. We are reaching the end of our road, the end of our days, maybe. Okay, I mentioned a few moments ago that we have an audio that lasts just over 14 minutes. I have not listened to the entire piece. I've listened to enough to know that this thing blew my mind. And we're going to share it with you. We're going to start a little bit earlier than I expected. We're only a couple minutes early. Listen carefully. Understand, I also have this video posted. And so, later on tonight, I'd strongly urge that you go and view it. It's powerful. It answers the question, is this the end? But it all has to do with government documents that were discovered from 1954. And according to what we're hearing, those documents prove that this may in fact be the end. Let's get started with the audio clip. I'll see you in 14 minutes just before the break. And then we'll talk on the other side.
So what they say in this document is they will dole out poisonous foods. It's not what we need, but it's what we want. And those that decide to eat these foods.
The security message of this is, we're going to tell you this stuff, and you have to shut your mouth. Okay? Because when we start implementing this stuff, people are going to freak out.
They tell us on page 98, a typical scenario. Takedown of the U.S. by 10 people and $10 million. Binary biologicals, imported vitamins and clothing. The food supply will be poisoned. Terror attacks with vaccines and with viruses. They talk about our railroads will be attacked. Selective anti-personnel with radiation frequencies, microwaves from the towers. The water supply will be contaminated via intercontinental unmanned vehicles, accompanied by serious Cywar, and that's the CNN syndrome. So they're telling us here how easy it would be to take down the United States with these new technologies.
And here we go. We're just going to get right into it. I'm going to bring up a document that I found from 1979. This document was top secret. It was actually found in a Boeing printer, surplus Boeing printer that was bought in 1989. In 1986, They found this document, and they've been trying to tell you guys all about it for all these years. And everyone the whole time was just saying, oh, that's just conspiracy theory. Oh, that's just a lie. Oh, that's just, you just made that stuff up. Now, we're going to peel back the onion, and we're going to see what's inside this document. It's called Silent War, Silent Weapons for a Quiet War. Man, the stuff in this document are off the chain. Historical introduction. Silent weapon technology has evolved from Operation Research, a strategic and tactical mythology developed under the military management in England during World War II. The original purpose of Operation Research was to study the strategic and tactical problems of air and land defense with the objective of effective use of limited military resources against foreign enemies. It was soon recognized by those in position of power that the same methods might be useful for totally controlling a society, but better tools were necessary. Social engineering, the analysis and automation of a society, requires the correlation of great amounts of constantly changing economic information, data. So high-speed computerized data processing systems was necessary, which could race ahead of the society and predict when society would arrive for capitalization. Those in positions of power strongly suspected that it was possible for them to control the whole world with a push of a button. Immediately, the Rockefeller Foundation got on the ground floor by making a 4-year grant to the Harvard College, funding the Harvard Economic Research Project for the study of the structure of the American economy. 1 year later, in 1949, the United States Air Force joined in. Now hear me out. What if there's a plan already in place to literally kill and take out a large portion of the population?
They're keeping us so sick. From the fluoride, from the aspartame in the food, all of the dyes and chemicals on everything. I mean, even the receipts that we get from filling our cars with gas are poisonous. We shouldn't be touching them. And so we need to navigate. I say that life on a daily basis is like trying to walk through a landmine field. And if you get to the other side at the end of the day, you've made good choices.
Documents that you could reference on all this crazy stuff that's going on that would show you that this was actually a long-term plan to take out a major part of the population to have complete control over humanity. 1954, the Bilderberg Group. Have you heard about the Bilderberg Group? I've talked about it before. The Bilderberg Group had their first meeting. Here are the documents from the first meeting. Mass hysteria and psychosis and how they were going to corrupt your food and how they were going to break apart your family. What if there was a document like that? You get into the document, you know, it has like a little table of contents. They want to tell you when you come to the meeting what you're going to be talking about in the meeting. And the very first thing it talks about is security. It is patently impossible to discuss social engineering or the automation of a society, i.e. the engineering of social automation systems, silent weapons, on a national and worldwide scale without implying extensive objectives of social control and destruction of human life, i.e. slavery and genocide. This manual in itself, an analog declaration of intent, such a writing must be secured from public scrutiny. Otherwise, it might be recognized as a technically formal declaration of domestic war. That says it right here. Furthermore, whenever any person or group or persons in the position of great power or without the full knowledge and consent of the public uses such knowledge and mythology for economic conquest, it must be understood that a state of domestic and warfare exists between said person or group of persons and the public. The solution of today's problem requires an approach which is ruthlessly candid, Man, you guys are going to love this stuff. Make sure you hit that thumbs up. With no agonizing over religious, moral, or cultural values. Man, just think about that. Religious, moral, or cultural values. No regard to them. Okay? You have been qualified for this project because of your ability to look at a human society with cold objectivity. You know, this was given to the people that showed up to the meeting back in 1954, the first Bilderberg meeting, okay? This is it. This is the papers right here, right? Listen to what they're saying. You have to be a cold son of a to be in our group, buddy. You cannot care about how we wipe out humanity. You cannot be morally subject to what we're about to do. Oh, and you've been qualified. I hope you guys are wrapping your head around this stuff in all seriousness. And yet, analyze and discuss your observations and conclusions with others of similar intellectual capacity without the loss of discretion or humility. See, that means they can talk to their friends about how this is going to go down with no remorse or reflection on humility because they think like you. Otherwise, a person like us would be, this is crazy. I can't believe this is, what are you talking about? Who are you to decide that? This is nuts. It's got to, you know what I mean? Because we care, actually. Whew. Such virtues are exercised in your own best interest, not to deviate from them. So right up front, the security message of this is, we're going to tell you this stuff, and you have to shut your mouth. Okay? Because when we start implementing this stuff, people are going to freak out. All right, so now we got that out of the way. We have the official documents. I'm going to do several videos about this, so make sure you're subscribed to our channel. Now, what we did find out was, A, they have great disdain for the family unit. Listen to something. There's another document that goes along with this. It's from NASA. If you guys think NASA's about sending astronauts to the moon or going to outer space, you are sadly mistaken. Please look into MK Ultra. Okay, NASA over there is a scam-ola, all right? But there's another document attached to this or kind of goes with it from NASA, and here's what it says about the family unit.
But the very last statement in this document, it says, factor six, cattle. Those who will not use their brains are no better off than those who have no brains. And so this mindless school of jellyfish, father, mother, son, and daughter become useful beasts of burden or trainers of the same. So what they say in this document is they will dole out poisonous foods. It's not what we need, but it's what we want. And those that decide to eat these foods will have the consequences of that. They tell us how they set up all the social engineering, how they devise the family, how they crumble the family, how they set up the war machine, how they influence thinking in the family unit to allow the family to give up their children to war for a rich man's fodder.
As you can see, like they have disdain for the family unit. Also, I'll let you know that the silent weapon technology that we're going to discuss in these next several videos and today was developed in an operational research and strategic tactical mythology developed under the military management in England during World War II. Now, as we're peeling back all the onions, aren't you guys finding kind of a coincidence? Operation Paperclip, Operation Mockingbird, all this stuff was around World War II. We were supposed to be fighting back fascism and communism and all this stuff all around the globe. We were supposed to be getting rid of Hitler and his gang. I truly believe Hitler never died. I truly believe he lived out his days to be an old man. Okay, they brought all those guys over, the scientists and all the high-ups. They brought them over. Please go look this stuff up. It's called Operation Paperclip. And they brought all those guys over here, put them into positions, high positions in our government and in our universities. Okay, and they continued on with their experiments, and they shared all their knowledge, and it's disgusting. All right, it's disgusting. We were played like a fiddle. We thought they were having Nuremberg trials over there, and those people were all going to be held accountable for what they did, and that was a big fat lie. America smuggled those guys out and brought them here, and we continued everything that they've done. I've even found research saying we taught Hitler everything that he knows. So everything that we think we know is a big fat lie. Man, is this video going to get banned or what? The quality of education given to the lower class must be of the poorest sort. Think about the public schools. So that the moat of ignorance, isolating the inferior class from the superior class, is and remains incomprehensible to the inferior class. Which such an intentional handicap, even bright lower class individuals have little, if any, hope of I can't even read this stuff. Do you guys understand what's going on? I mean, seriously, I'm going to go over some more of this stuff in this document. You know what I mean? They are poisoning your food to make you dumb. They are poisoning the water to make you dumb. They put out documents to tell you that they're going to do it. You guys picking up what I'm putting down? They have it in documents. I'm going to keep going over these documents. Right now, today, we were talking about the food and basically how they think about you. Okay, the food is designed to keep you sick and lethargic and dumb, and then the schools put the nail on the coffin. Okay, look at what's going on in the schools. Look at what's going on with the food. Look at what's going on and compare it to the documents as we unfold more documents in each video this week. Okay, but this one I wanted to show you. There's an effort out to dumb people down through the food and through the water to keep you docile. Okay, and we're going to talk about that later on, what they're doing to the men. All right? The men. And as we start connecting more of these dots and we start talking about more of this document, you guys are really going to see it. And if you can't see it, I can't help you. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If you can't see it after we do these next couple videos, I can't help you. If you're on our mailing list, as we finish up this series, I'm going to be sending out the links where you can download a copy of this document, read it for yourself. Okay? Make sure you hit that thumbs up on the way out. Make sure you share the video.
Well, was that enough to wake you up? Stay with us. Going for a dance with Kim. Thank you. Just a couple minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Half hour. Jeff Bennett here on this 26th day of September. Next week, my wife and I will celebrate 53 years together. Up and down battles, as most couples go through in this life. That's reality. Jean-Jacques Rousseau once stated that man is born free, but everywhere is in chains. I guess that is a fitting statement, considering the 14-minute audio clip that we just heard. And as I mentioned before, that video is posted at federalobserver.com. I would recommend that you watch it. Listen to it more carefully. And you can also then pick up his next several videos afterwards. I don't think there's a cost for it. because his goal is to teach, to educate, to wake us up. Keep in mind, with all of this, we have to realize that authoritarian control freaks out to micromanage our lives. They become new normal. Or maybe, to be more accurate, the new abnormal when it comes to how the government relates to you and I, the citizenry. This overbearing despotism, which predates the COVID hysteria, is the very definition of a nanny state where government representatives, yeah, those elected and appointed to work for us, they adopt the authoritarian notion that the government knows best and therefore must control and regulate and dictate almost everything about the citizenry's public, private, and professional lives. Indeed, my friends, it's a dangerous time for any of us who still cling to the idea that freedom means the right to think for yourself and act responsibly according to our best judgment. Because we're in the midst of a tug of war. And it's a tug of war for control and sovereignty over ourselves. Impacts almost every aspect of our lives. Doesn't matter whether we're talking about decisions relating to our health, our homes, how we raise our children, what we consume, what we drive, what we wear, how we spend our money, how we protect ourselves and our loved ones, and even who we choose to associate with, and even what we think. Liz Wolf recently stated that little things that make people's lives better and tastier and less tedious are being cracked down on by big government types in federal and state governments. We can't even buy a stove or a dishwasher or a shower head or a leaf blower or a light bulb anymore without running afoul of the nanny state. And guess what? I just got 50 light bulbs in that I ordered 2 months ago. The right kind. But you see, in all these ways, under the guise of pseudo-benevolence, our government has meted out this bureaucratic tyranny in such a way as to nullify the inalienable rights of you and I, the individual, and limited our choices to those few that the government deems safe enough. Yet limited choice is no longer a choice at all. Regulated freedom is no longer freedom at all. A study by the Cato Institute concluded that for the average American, freedom has declined generally over the past 20 years. Researchers William Ruger and Jason Soren explained that we ground our conception of freedom on an individual rights framework. In our view, the author's view, individuals should be allowed to dispose of their lives, their liberties, and their property as they see fit, so long as they do not infringe upon the rights of others. But you see, the overt signs of the despotism exercised by the increasingly authoritarian regime, my friends, that passes itself off as the United States government, and let's not forget its corporate partners in crime, they're all around us. Censorship, criminalizing, shadow banning, deplatforming of individuals who express ideas that are politically incorrect or unpopular. Got warrantless surveillance of Americans' movements and communications. SWAT team raids of America's homes. Shootings of unarmed citizens by police. Harsh punishments meted out to school children in the name of zero tolerance. Community-wide lockdowns. Health mandates that strip Americans of our freedoms. Of movement. Bodily integrity. Armed drones taking to the skies domestically, endless wars, out of control government spending, militarized police, roadside strip searches, privatized prisons with a profit incentive for jailing Americans, fusion centers that spy on and collect and disseminate data on our private transactions, militarized agencies with stock piles of ammunition, all of these things named just some of the most appalling, of course. And yet, as egregious as these incursions on our rights may be, it's the endless petty tyrannies the heavy-handed, the punitive-laden dictates inflicted by a self-righteous, big brother's nose best bureaucracy and an overtaxed, overregulated, and underpresented populace. All of these things that illustrate so clearly the degree to which we, the people, are viewed as incapable of common sense, moral judgment, fairness, and intelligence. Not to mention the lacking of basic understanding of how to stay alive, or to raise a family, or to be part of a functioning community. When the dictates of petty bureaucrats carry greater weight than the individual rights of the citizenry, my friends, we are in trouble. For federal and state agencies have used the law as a bludgeon to litigate, legislate, micromanage our lives through overregulation and overcriminalization. And this is what happens when bureau rats run the show. The rule of law becomes little more than a cattle prod for forcing the citizenry, you and I, to march in lockstep with the government. Overregulation is just the other side of the coin to overcriminalization. That phenomenon in which everything is rendered illegal and everyone becomes a lawbreaker. We don't have to look far to find abundant examples of nanny state laws that infantilize individuals and strip us of our ability to decide things for themselves. Back in 2012, then New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg infamously proposed a ban on the sale of sodas and large sugary drinks in order to guard against obesity. Other localities enacted bans on texting while jaywalking, or wearing saggy pants, or having too much mud in our car, smoking outdoors, or storing trash in our car, improperly sorting our trash, cursing within earshot of others, or just screeching our tires. And yet, while there's endless ways for the nanny state to micromanage our lives, things become truly ominous when the government adopts mechanisms enabling it to monitor us for violations in order to enforce its many laws. Come on. You see those little cameras about the stoplights out on the roads, on the streets? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mechanisms monitoring us for violations. Nanny state. Meet the all-seeing, all-knowing surveillance state and its sidekick, the muscle-flexing police state. You see, in an age of overcriminalization, when the law is wielded like a hammer to force compliance to the government's dictates, whatever they might be, we don't have to do anything wrong to be fined or arrested or subjected to raids and seizures and surveillance. You just have to refuse to march in lockstep with the government. As policy analyst Michael Van Beek warns, the problem with overcriminalization is that there are so many laws at the federal, state, and local levels, we can't possibly know them all. It's also impossible to enforce all of these laws. Instead, law enforcement officials must choose which ones are important and which are not at any given moment in time. And the result is they pick the laws Americans really must follow because they're the ones deciding which laws really matter. Federal, state, local regulations, rules created by unelected government bureau rats, they all carry the same force of law. They can turn us into a criminal if we violate any one of them. If we violate these rules, we could be prosecuted as criminals. No matter how antiquated or ridiculous, they still carry the full force of the law. And by letting so many of these sit around, just waiting to be used against us, we increase the power of law enforcement, which has lots of options to charge people with legal and regulatory violations. This, my friends, is the police state superpower, empowered by the nanny state. It's been vested with the authority to make our lives a bureaucratic hell. Does all of this make sense to you? Does some of this or all of this follow up with the 14-minute audio clip that we shared with you during the first half of today's hour, of this hour? If we were unnerved by the rapid deterioration of privacy under the surveillance state, oh, better be prepared to be terrified by the surveillance matrix that'll be ushered in by the nanny state working in tandem with the police state. The police state become nothing more than a tool of the government state. Consider this. The government's response to COVID-19 saddled us with a nanny state inclined to use its draconian pandemic powers to protect us from ourselves. The groundwork laid with COVID-19 is a prologue to what will become the police state's conquest of a new, relatively uncharted frontier, inner space, specifically the inner workings, genetic, biological, biometric, mental, and emotional of the human race. You doubt me? I want to invite you to tune in to my regular programming hour tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on RBN. Our Wednesday program is typically referred to as To Health With You. I guess in a roundabout way, we're going to be talking about some of these issues for those of us who we're not supporters of COVID-19 and the dog and the pony shows and the game plays. And oh boy, they're trying to crank it up again. Just consider all of this, but do tune into that program tomorrow. I have a series of doctors that will be tuning in. It's a very, very involved, lengthy piece actually written by a doctor. So let's do this. I want us to consider how many more ways the government could protect us from ourselves under the guise of public health and safety. Under the guise of public health and safety, the government could use mental health care as a pretext for targeting and locking up dissidents, activists, anyone unfortunate enough to be placed on a government watch list. How many of we broadcasters out there are on the watch lists? Well, when you begin to combine with advances in mass surveillance technologies, artificial intelligence-powered programs that can track us by our biometrics and behavior, mental health sensor data tracked by wearable data and monitored by government agencies such as HARPA, how much can they track us with our cell phones? A hell of a lot. What about threat assessments, behavioral sensing warnings, pre-crime initiatives, red flag gun laws, mental health first aid programs aimed at training gatekeepers to identify who might pose a threat to the public safety? These preemptive mental health programs could well signal a tipping point in the government's efforts to penalize those engaging in so-called thought crimes. But this is how it all begins. My friends, on a daily basis, we are already relinquishing, in many cases voluntarily, the most intimate details of who we are. Biological makeup, our genetic blueprints, our biometrics, our facial characteristics and structure, our fingerprints, our iris scans. All of this in order to navigate an increasingly technologically enabled world. And having conditioned the population to the idea that being part of society is a privilege and not a right, this kind of access could easily be predicated on social credit scores, the worthiness of one's political views, or the extent to which one is willing to comply with the government's dictates, no matter what they might be. So COVID-19, with its talk of mass testing, screening checkpoints, contact tracing, immunity passports, and snitch tip lines for reporting rule breakers to the authorities. All of that was a preview of what was to come. Should we all be leery and afraid? At a time when the government has a growing list shared with fusion centers and law enforcement agencies of ideologies and behaviors and affiliations and other characteristics that could flag someone as suspicious and result in their being labeled potential enemies of the state, it won't take much for any of us to be considered outlaws or terrorists. After all, the government likes to use the words anti-government or extremist and terrorist. They like to use these words all interchangeable. And the Department of Homeland Security broadly defines extremists as individuals that are mainly anti-government, rejecting federal authority in favor of state or local authority, or rejecting government authority entirely. Hey! Guess that means me. At some point, you see, being an individualist will be considered as dangerous as being a terrorist. And when anything goes, when it's done in the name of national security or crime fighting, terrorism, we the people have little to no protection against SWAT team raids and domestic surveillance and police shootings of unarmed citizens or indefinite detentions and the like, whether or not we've done anything wrong. Or you see, in an age of over-criminalization, I'm already a criminal. All the government needs is proof of your law-breaking. Oh, and they'll get it. Whether it's through the use of surveillance software, such as Shadow Dragon, that allows police to watch people's social media activity, or maybe technology that uses your home Wi-Fi router and smart appliances to allow those on the outside to see through your home. It's just a matter of time, my friends. It's no longer a question of whether the government will lock up Americans for defying one of its numerous mandates, but when. Think about that. It is interesting. There were two portions of this program tonight that were written by John Whitehead. And the article we've just shared with you, to me, was a perfect fit to share after the audio clip and the piece that we introduced the audio clip with at the beginning of the hour was a portion of a John Whitehead piece that I'd done in the air a couple of weeks ago. It all ties together, doesn't it? The direction that we're going, or that we've already gone in this nation. It's appalling to me. There are nights that I don't sleep at all. I may not sleep for 24, 36 hours. And then when it finally catches up with me, I lay down about daylight Saturday night. Didn't wake up for close to 30 hours. I don't know about you, but I'm very depressed the direction this nation has gone. And we, the people, have allowed this to continue to take place. We continue to allow to, we continue to vote in our enemies into positions of power, whether it's state, whether it's federal, it doesn't matter where. Use your heads, people. We've got to stop buying into this nonsense. Don't think that Trump is going to resolve our issues, because he's not going to. It's that simple. It's nothing against Donald Trump. But this current administration is out to do all they can to destroy Trump. Do I think Joey will get reelected? No, I do not. I'm not even sure he's going to live long enough. Anyway, time for us to bail on out of here. And in the words of George Michael, I don't know about you, but I'm praying for time. Thank you for spending this couple of hours with me. Thank you for allowing me to share my time with you. Stick around for Maggie Rose. She'll be up in just a couple minutes. I will see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. On the health with you. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
If we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say, I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing will change. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Charity, charity is a coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and I. I may have too much, but I'll take my chance and say, I sang 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to a,
gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay. Hey, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.